I'll begin by reading 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6 this evening. It says, "The one who says that he abides in him," talking about Jesus here, "ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked." One of our goals as Christians, a goal that we all share, is to be more Christ-like. And that is something that we talk about a lot. But something that I want to point out, and you're probably going to think that I'm really silly for pointing it out, but this necessity of being Christ-like is something that applies to all Christians. I'm not breaking any big news here when I say that, or when I point out the fact that Jesus was a male. He was a man. And we see here in 1 John that it says, "The one who says that he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked." So does this mean that women can't be Christ-like, that it's impossible for them to be able to do so? Well, of course not. Whenever women put on Christ in baptism, they do the same as any disciple, and they're expected to walk in the same manner as he did. And although we don't tend to look at them very often, there's a whole lot of examples in the Bible of women who do show Christ-like qualities. And although there's plenty that we could look at tonight, there's one in particular that I want to look at, and to do so we have to go back to the Old Testament, to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, and in the first couple of chapters, in the first chapter and the second chapter, we read about a woman named Hannah. And in the first chapter, we see that Hannah is not able to have children, and this is causing her a lot of trouble because she's become the object of scorn for the other wife of her husband, who is able to have children. But then one day, Hannah, when she and her husband and all their family are in Shiloh, which is where the tabernacle of the Lord is, she goes down and prays to God. And we read this in 1 Samuel 1, verse 11. "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head." After this, she is indeed blessed with a son whom we know as Samuel, and she does do what she said that she would do. She weans Samuel, and then she takes him back to the tabernacle, and there he serves the Lord away from her. Now, I'm going to read the end of 1 Samuel chapter 1 and on into 1 Samuel chapter 2, because I think in these sections, these passages, we really get a good picture of the heart of Hannah. So I'm going to begin reading in verse 24 of chapter 1. "Now when she had weaned him, she took him," we're talking about Samuel here, "she took him up with her with a three-year-old bull and one ephah of flour and a jug of wine and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, although the child was young. And they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the boy to Eli. She said, 'O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. For this boy I prayed, and when the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him, so I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord.' And he worshipped the Lord there." Chapter 2. "Then Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart exults in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are shattered, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for bread. But those who are hungry cease the hunger. Even the barren gives birth to seven. But she who has many children languishes. The Lord kills and he makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and he raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low and he also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with the nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's and he has set the world on them. He keeps the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his king, and he will exalt the horn of his anointed." And I think this the end of this section here is a good place for us to switch back to Jesus for a moment and think about him. One of the striking characteristics of Jesus, one of the most striking characteristics, was he was so different from those who claimed to be the most zealous and faithful to God, and those that really should have been. And he was different from them in a good way. Well, interestingly enough, Hannah, she here in the second chapter of 1 Samuel, she finds herself in really the same position. Later on in chapter 2, we have two anointed priests two priests of God, and Hannah looks a whole lot different, or they look different than Hannah, and it's not really a good way. Different is usually something that you would expect when it comes to priests, from looking than you would expect them to look different than others. But again, it's not in a good way. As we read in 1 Samuel 2, in verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were worthless men, and they did not know the Lord. And the custom of the priests with the people, when any man was offering a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come while the meat was boiling with a three-pronged fork in his hand, and he would thrust it into the pan, or kettle, or cauldron, or pot, and all the fork brought up the priest would take for himself. Thus they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, "Give the priest meat for roasting, as he will not take the boiled meat from you, only raw." And if the man said to him, "They must surely burn the fat first, then take as much as you desire," then he would say, "No, but you shall give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force." Thus the sin of the young men were very great before the Lord, for the men despised the offering of the Lord. Now, as we look through the lens that we have now of Jesus, and we look at this at these instances here in the second chapter of 1 Samuel, who is it in these stories that is most Christ-like? Is it the holy priest of God, or is it maybe the person that we wouldn't have initially expected? One of the great attributes of Christ was that he was a giver. He gave of himself to all the people that came to him back when he was here on this earth, and we know how much that he has given to us. But more importantly, he was a giver to God. He gave praise to God. He gave honor to God. He gave everything that he had for God. And giving is really an attribute that shines here in Hannah as well. She gave trust to God. She sought him for help with her woes. She gave praise to God. I mean, listen to all this praise that she gave her. "My heart exults in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord." She talks about this Lord God as her rock. And she gave the thing, or really the person, that was most important to her. She gave her son to the Lord. And you know who that doesn't sound like? It doesn't really sound like Hophni and Phinehas. In fact, they were doing the opposite. They were taking away from the Lord. We see in Leviticus chapter 3 and verse 16, talking about fat here, "The priest shall offer them up in smoke on the altar as food, an offering by fire for a soothing aroma, because all fat is the Lord's." And these two men are saying, "Oh, that's mine." And they're taking that away, and they're taking away the choice parts of all the offerings of the people. And yet Hannah gave her son. Isn't that just a huge, just stark contrast here? So, but I guess really the question for us tonight is, who are we in this story? Would you consider yourself a giver? And it's fantastic if our mind immediately flashes to, maybe all the instances that we might have given to others, but are we givers to God? Think about what it is that is most important to you. Who it is that's most important to you. Would you be willing to give that up? Him up, her up? Would you be able to give trust enough to God to let that go? Would you, after giving up whatever that was, would you be able to immediately praise God and give praise to God? It's very, and something that's hard to imagine, it's very hard to imagine that a child would be in a better place or in better hands than the hands of a faithful mother. And you get that feeling more and more as you see this story with Hannah. I mean, you look at Hannah and you're like, man, if she would have raised Samuel, she would have been in good hands. But she dedicated him to God. And I don't know if this gave her comfort, but it's something that can give us comfort. Anything that we entrust to God, as good as we may be, it's in better hands. And so was Samuel. If, you know, we think about the most important things to us, if our life is one of those things, you know, it may not be the most important thing to us, or at least we may not say that it is, but if it's something that would be hard to let go, I don't want to scare us tonight, but, you know, kind of what one of the things that comes along with the Christian, with being a Christian, is that our life is God's now. We are encouraged in Romans 12 and verse 1 to present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is our spiritual service of worship. And that's a hard thing. It is hard to fight the impulse to live for ourselves. It is hard to fight the impulse to claim for ourselves all the choice pieces of life, and it is hard to not reserve for ourselves all the things that should be God's. But what does God offer us? God offers purpose. He offers us protection. He offers us holiness. He offers us forgiveness. He offers us eternal life. So yes, if we entrust our lives over to Him, as hard as it may be, it's going into better hands. What I want to finish up with, we read a story of another giver in Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 41. In verse 41 we see, "And he," talking about Jesus here, "and he sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury. And many rich people were putting in large sums, but a poor widow came up and put in two small copper coins, which amounted to a cent. And calling his disciples to him, he said to them, 'Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she owned and all that she had to live on.'" I see in these two stories some similarities. I see some similarities between Hannah and this widow. Number one, they gave a bigger gift than those that maybe you would expect to give more. Hannah, she gave more than God's priest. Obviously, she gave more than God's priest. This widow, she gave more than, you know, all the rich people that were putting in things around her because of the intent that she was giving with. I also noticed the magnitude of these gifts. This widow, she had exactly two coins to live on. And how many did she put in? Both of them. Hannah, she had one son, her only son. Who did she give up? She gave up that one son. But we also see in both of these stories that both of these women, because of what they did, they were noticed by God. See, in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 21, the Lord visited Hannah. After Samuel is gone, he visited Hannah, and she conceived and gave birth to three sons and two daughters, and the boy Samuel grew before the Lord. And obviously, as we go through the story of the widow, Jesus didn't miss a thing that she did. Now, I don't know how you tonight feel about yourself as a Christian. I don't know. If you know, maybe it's hard for you to expect a whole lot of yourself. Maybe it's hard to think that you can be Christ-like. Sometimes it's hard for us to think about ourselves. But one of the things that we really can't forget is that, you know, normal everyday people have been, as we have seen today. I mean, mothers, widows, hosts of people have been, and sometimes people that we wouldn't expect. And so, what's stopping you? We know that God loves a cheerful giver, and maybe we just don't feel like we have anything to give, but obviously that's not true. We always have ourselves. And that's, I realize that that's a hard ask, but it's not me that asked it. This comes from God, who notices us, who watches us, and doesn't miss a thing, and He understands how hard that is for us to give our lives to Him. But this is what Paul says in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, "I know who I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until that day." And if we give our life to God, we are without a doubt putting it in the right hands. And He is going to take good care of it. And you know what? When we get to the end of this life and we are greeted with what we have entrusted to God, a real life, an eternal life, a forever life, we're going to realize that it was so much better than if we tried to hold on to it for ourselves. if you this evening need to turn your life over to God and do that through the offer that He gives us through His Son, please come forward, be baptized, or if you need prayers from the congregation, we can do that as we stand and as we sing.